Folks, I want to talk to you tonight. Once again, this is part two from this morning. The message is entitled, Doing What You Cannot Do. How many know that naturally it's impossible for us to walk with God? Naturally. The natural man cares less. The natural man cannot please God. The natural man is what? Separated from God. Actually, the Bible says that we were once enemies in our minds to God. So, how is that possible? Well, doesn't mean that God didn't love us. It meant that because of sin, it's repulsive. God is holy, and he can't look upon sin, and therefore, a price had to be paid for that sin. God loved us so much that he sent his only begotten son, Jesus, to die for our sins so that we could be restored and reconciled to him and we can enjoy this amazing grace, this amazing life that he's now given us and that we're enjoying even tonight. To those of us who open our hearts, how many know I'm talking about? He's just good. He's just good. But what we are called to do as followers of Jesus is what really we can't do. Naturally. Your calling is bigger than you. Your assignment is bigger than you. What we're asked to do by God is something that I have to depend on him to do. When God gives us a command, sometimes he's going to tell us to do something that, well, God, I can't do that. I can't witness to those people over there. If God says to do it, it means that he's going to back you up. It means that he's going to grant you the grace you need to do it. God would never tell us to do something without giving us the grace to do it. He would never tell us to stop sinning unless he was going to provide the sufficient grace for you to be free from that sin. And he waits for us to respond to his voice and to cooperate with him and to say, yes, Lord, okay, I'm willing to do whatever you tell me to do, I'm going to do. And when you come to that place where you are listening to his voice, you're in agreement with him, and you do what he says, then the grace of God is released in your life and you're set free from that thing. But he knows when we're giving him lip service. Has anybody ever done that before? Oh, God, I'll do all this if you just do this for me. And as soon as he does that for you, you're done already. You're back at it again. But when we come to the place, it's called repentance, where I'm so sick and tired of being sick and tired. I'm so sick and tired of sin. I am broken over my sin. It's repulsive to me. I want to be free from it. I don't want to live in it any longer. I want to come out of the cesspool and I want to be cleansed in the blood of Jesus. When you come to that place and you kneel before Christ and you call upon his name and ask him for mercy, he hears from heaven because he knows you mean business now. Otherwise, you're going to continue in that cesspool. And how many know that's just not good for you? But he died to set us free from that junk. You don't have to fill up on filler food anymore. You can eat the best. You can dine at the table of the king. You can be seated at the table. Seated where you don't really belong yet. God in his mercy said, come on. I want to have fellowship with you. Have you tried the potatoes? Well, it's time for some meat now. My heart is to see people worship Jesus. To just pour their hearts perfume, to pour their hearts out to him because his grace is so amazing and so wonderful and so abundant and so life-changing and so liberating. If you can just get past you, say, Jesus, I don't care if I'm called a fool. I don't care what people think. I want you. I'll dance before the Lord like David did. He embarrassed his wife something fierce. He didn't care. wasn't about her. It was about the king. He humbled himself. How many know you're humbling yourself unless you're just to show off? Amen? You're humbling yourself to dance before the Lord. Because we want to, you know, preserve our dignity. And that's, you know, that's what David was dealing with. He was dealing with this. He says, I'm not going to let anybody put me in that place, in that shell of what they expect for me. Because as soon as you get ready to do something in obedience to God, there's always going to be something or some opposition. So he pulled out all the stops. And he danced with all his might before the Lord. And that's so liberating to worship the Lord, to shout to the Lord, to call on the Lord, to dance before the Lord. Hey, to even wave a banner before the Lord. All those people that they nitpick and they criticize. Oh, what are you doing with some of those flags? And where's, it's not biblical. God's name is banner in the Bible. And before the armies, they'd raise their banners. Amen. It was an identification. It's all right if you don't want to wave a banner. You don't have to. But don't criticize someone who's worshiping God. Just as long as you just, you know, letting Jesus, letting him in. Open up the door and let me in, he says. Just let me in. I'm standing at the door and I'm knocking. Oh, let me in. I want to take out that shame, that guilt. I want to deliver you from fear. I want to set you on high with me. I want to fill you with my spirit. I want to raise you up. And I want to demonstrate my great love through you. I want to reveal myself through you to this world. I want to model you before the world as an example of one of my followers. Holy God, we thank you for your word tonight. This morning I shared, and we will get into the scriptures, by the way, but how many know you're hearing the word of the Lord already? It's just packaged in a language that we can understand, because sometimes, you know, we get so theological and, you know, we get so deep with stuff that people are going, huh? You know? Well, you could have said it in a, you know, like Jesus, he just connected with the people, right? A sower went out to sow. You guys are farmers, right? Not here, but maybe in that time they were. He says, you can identify with this story. So he spoke the language of the people. How many know that Jesus didn't speak Old English? He didn't speak King James. I didn't know that until recently. No. In fact, Jesus didn't have a King James Bible either. And there's nothing wrong with the King James Bible. It's just that when we speak to people, we can't be speaking-ish in this way-ish, you know, or whatever-ish. Yea, hath thou known the way that thee art to go? I can't even do it right, but. And the world looks at it like this, and these people are, what are you saying? It's all Greek to me. Okay. This morning I mentioned a story about a boy who wanted to play basketball so bad, and he was just gearing himself up. He was good at basketball, but he wasn't, you know, that good. And so he's really working hard to perfect his craft. And he had dreams of being in the NBA, you know, and to having star status and getting accepted and all that. And you didn't want to break his heart or anything, but you kind of had to say, well, you know, I'm glad that you have these big goals and these dreams, but maybe you ought to be preparing something else too on the side, just in case that doesn't work out. Sometimes we have an overinflated opinion of ourselves, naturally speaking. You have people that think they're musicians that really are not. You ever watch, what's that thing they got going on, America Has Talent? And they get people on there that it's like, I feel sorry for them because they're making a spectacle and they're laughing at them. It's like, has anybody ever told them? You know, and it's bad. It's sad because sometimes, come on, we should be telling people in a gentle way, just saying, hey, man, maybe that's not your gift. But then you have people that like to flatter them and say, oh, that was awesome. Really? And you know the devil does that to us to get us out of our calling, out of our place, out of where we're supposed to be. So we need to think soberly as God has dealt to each one of us a measure of grace to stay within the limits that God has placed upon us. And yet, God's call is way beyond what we can do naturally. Okay, so therefore, we need to learn how, as Paul did, to function only in the power of the Holy Spirit. He never came to anybody with a program. He came in weakness. He came sometimes even intimidated by the fact that he was, they say he was a little guy, little bald guy, had bad eyesight. And you know what? God raises up people that people don't expect to do extraordinary supernatural things so that they'll say, isn't that the carpenter's son? Come on, Jesus was an average guy, just an average Joe. And there's a reason why he came like that. And God demonstrated, amen, through Jesus, the man Jesus. Even though he was God in the flesh, he was also a man. So God demonstrated his power through Jesus and showed us an example of how it is to walk with the Father. To walk a supernatural life. To not only tell people that the kingdom of heaven is here among you now, but to actually demonstrate it. God wants us to demonstrate the kingdom. These signs, Mark 16, shall follow those who believe in my name. We're called to preach the good news into all the world. Well, we can't do that naturally. Certainly not very well. There are people in pulpits that are going simply by their own natural ability. I mentioned this morning how there are many Christians, or should I say there are people in Christian churches, who are actually involved in Christian activities. Teaching Sunday school, you know, being an usher, singing in the choir, but they don't know God. And if our Christianity is just based upon what we can do naturally, it's not true Christianity at all. It's not normal Christianity. We are called to live a life of power. So that we should stand out. They should know that God is in us, of a reality. Today it seems so much of the church is so blended in with everything else and everybody else and so lukewarm. Which one is the Christian? And I'm not talking about the way people dress. I'm talking about the manifestation of God's glory and power through our lives, amen? Regardless of how we look. It's not about dress. And we need people, amen, that are going to be able to assimilate, you know, or to kind of fit in different places in society, amen, to become all things to all men that they might be able to gain some. So it's okay to be who you are. We got special forces out there. We're infiltrating, amen. I feel sorry for these young men walking around in these shirts and ties with the badge. Come on. They're caught up in a religious bondage. That's not of God at all. None of that stuff is. It only has a Christian face on it. But it's not true Christianity. They're feeding into a system is what it is. It's about money. And they're duping people. And a lot of these guys don't realize that they're well intended. They mean well. And they've been deceived by this thing. And behind it is Satan. Colossians 2:13. I want to read from the New Living Translation. It says, "You were dead because of your sins and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away." That talks about a separation in the heart, circumcision of the heart. "Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins. He canceled the record of charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross." Colossians 2:14. "In this way," speaking of Jesus, "he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross." I believe what the Word of God says. Jesus spoiled, it says in the King James, principalities and powers. Jesus has overcome the world. "All authority is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore." Yes. "I'm dispatching you. I'm sending you out in my authority. I've given you, I've delegated authority to my church, my representatives, my ambassadors, to go and do the works that I did." Oh, but that was Jesus. Well, Jesus, it says in Philippians that he emptied himself of all that he had in glory and became a man in the form or the likeness of a servant. He became just like you and me. And then he gave everything over to the Father. He submitted himself every day to the Father's will, to do only what the Father showed him to do, to speak only what he heard the Father speak, and to demonstrate what it is to live a victorious life. And he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. And through the cross, he has overcome all principality and power. He has all the, he has the keys. Keys to unlock or lock. And so he says, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. I'm giving you that authority, he said. He spoke to Peter, but he was talking to the church. He was saying, listen, what I am allowing in heaven, you can allow on the earth. What I'm binding in heaven, you can bind on the earth. You can do that. You need to hear my voice, though. You need to do what I say. Whenever we obey God's voice, it's 100%. It's not hit and miss. So if they have been disarmed, then why would we, as followers of Jesus who have been born of his Spirit, why would we give ourselves over to them to be subject to them again when Christ has overcome them and he's placed his Spirit into our hearts, crying out, Abba, Father, and greater is the Spirit of Christ that's in us than he that's in the world? Why would we submit ourselves any longer, come on, to listen to the voice of the adversary? You know, remember the song, "The Voice of Truth"? Tells me a different story. The voice of truth says, don't be afraid. The voice of truth says, I am with you always. The voice of truth says, I give you power to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the works of the devil. Amen? And nothing shall by any means hurt you. The voice of truth says that I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. The voice of truth says, I have given you a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind, not a spirit of fear. So who are we going to listen to? I got tired of listening to that other dude, you know. He tells lies. I read from 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 this morning. I want to read it to you from the Living Translation. Please hear. By His divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. No more excuses, folks. Are you with me? You know what can't be forgiven? Excuses. God has given us everything that we need for living a godly life. I talked about this morning that if we don't understand our identity again, if we don't know who we are, are you here? Especially when you're young and you're growing up. You know, I went through, believe it or not, I was a teenager once too, you know. But when you're going through that time, you kind of like saying, well, am I this or am I with this group or who do I fit in with, you know? And you kind of go through an identity crisis. Has anybody ever been there before? Okay, I hear, see that hand over there. But if we don't know who we are, then neither will anybody else. If you don't know who you are in Christ, then neither will the devil, in the sense that you're going to be a threat to him. He does not want you and I to know who we are in Christ. He does not want you to know how much power that God has given you inside of you to mess him up. To drive him out of people, to set captives free. Jesus has already overcome him, folks. We are not to be intimidated in any way by our adversaries. Greater is He that's in us, really, than he that's in the world. Is Christ in you tonight? Then you have the victor on the inside of you that makes you victorious. You know, in the areas where we don't have peace in our lives, there's war. And then when the nations of the earth fight, you know, there's a lack of peace, obviously, until somebody wins. And when you know that Jesus has won, the battle has already been won. What we need to do is understand what has actually taken place. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. But right now, folks, I want you to hear this, is that your adversary can only use deception and lies against God's people. He can only use misinformation. He can only try to get you to believe something that's not true about you. He tries to get you to doubt who you are as a believer, as a follower, that you're just a weakling or a nobody. You're a somebody. You're a somebody because Jesus died for you and shed His blood for you. That makes you pretty important in God's sight. You're pretty important, folks. Amen? So don't listen to that other voice that tells you you're a nobody. Oh, yeah. Because men will tell you that, right? People will say that. You're a loser. No, I'm not. I'm an overcomer. Because the overcomer is in me. I have victory because He has won the victory. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:1, when I first came to you, dear brothers and sisters, I didn't use lofty words and impressive wisdom to tell you God's secret plan. For I decided that while I was with you, I would forget everything except Jesus Christ, the one who was crucified. I came to you in weakness, timid and trembling, and my message and my preaching were very plain. Rather than using clever and persuasive speeches, I relied only on the power of the Holy Spirit. Church, we need to rely only on the power of the Holy Spirit. Only on the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the problem, is we're not. We're putting confidence in our ability. We're putting confidence in our programs. We're doing things that anybody could do naturally. Come on, unsaved people can do some of the Christian stuff that goes on in the church. But what God calls us to do is something that you can't do naturally. But in Christ, you can do all things. And that all things is in accordance with His will, folks. As Jesus said, not as I will, but as you will. So if it's according to God's will, you can do it. If it looks bigger than you, it's probably God. And it means that God is going to demonstrate His awesome power through your life. And they're going to say, wow, that was amazing. That person came in sick and they left well. Amen. That crippled was healed. Those eyes were opened. God did a miracle, demonstrating to the world that He's alive. I came in beat down, dejected, feeling lost and all alone. And God got a hold of my heart and transformed me from the inside. And I walked out of there hopping, leaping, skipping, shouting, praising God, and a free man. Hallelujah. Whoa. Amazing grace indeed. So our victory over the darkness, because Christ has already overcome the darkness, hello, is only possible by faith in the ability of God and our cooperating with Him. We need to live as if we can do what we can't do. And so the areas where we don't have peace are areas of war. And so what we need to understand is that the battle is the Lord's indeed. And the battle actually has been already dealt with. When Jesus hung on the cross over 2,000 years ago, He says, it is finished. It is finished. It is a very present reality. To a child of God, born of the Spirit of God, the devil no longer can control you. Sin can no longer dominate you. It's no longer your master. That's what the truth is. And so it's a battle of truth. It's a battle of understanding what God has already accomplished for me and me receiving His grace. Righteousness is not something you can achieve. People get defeated because they're trying to achieve something that God has already done. We're just now believing what God has already done and stepping out in faith that what God says is always true. When you feel condemned, you say, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. For the Spirit, right, of life in Christ has set me free from the law of sin and death. Hallelujah. When we walk in the Spirit, amen, we walk in love, we don't gratify the sin nature. Amen. We abide in Christ and we abide in holiness. Holiness is not something to be achieved either. It's something to be received. You receive the Holy One. He has become for us, 1 Corinthians 1:30. Holiness for us. Who makes me holy? He does. You can't make yourself holy, folks. You're trying to just live holy and struggling and striving to live godly, and you can do good for a little while. But we should rely only on the power of the Holy Spirit. Only on the power of the Holy Spirit. For victory over sin, darkness, demons, whatever it might be, we rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. That's amazing grace. Jesus is our overcomer. I want to say this. Too often we as Christians, you know, in different circles anyways, can get so caught up in rebuking devils. You know, we get devil phobic after a while. Everything is a demon. Everything is a devil. You know, Come out, thou devil of sneeze, you know, or whatever. And, you know, the devil likes that. He likes the attention. He's like, hey, because what he'll do is he'll say, over here. And you run over there and you're just rebuking the devil. And then he'll say, oh, I'm over here. And you're over there rebuking the devil. Get out of here, devil. We have people that, you know, they got devils running around their house and stuff is floating, flying across the room and all this weird stuff that goes on. It's a reality, man. It's a real spirit world. And the devil's just got them all preoccupied about what he's up to and what he's doing. And I've discovered something. If I seek God, if I press into Him, and I develop godly virtue, amen, by abiding in Him, by worshiping Him, by obeying and cooperating with Him, that I don't have to go around rebuking the devil. He gets out of there. He can't be around Jesus. When Jesus showed up on the scene, they cried out, oh, the Son of David, have you come to torment us before our time? He can't stand Jesus, folks. We just need to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, and they'll leave you alone. If you've got a demon in you, we'll kick him out in Jesus' name. But you can also squeeze him out by worshiping God. The light comes in, the darkness has to go. Open your heart. You got to open your heart. Don't be shut down when Jesus is knocking. It's a good idea to open the door and say, okay, Lord, come on in. Be the honored guest. Be the number one. Oh, He's so good. Maybe sometime if you'd like to write this down, 2 Peter chapter 1, 5 through 10. That has to do with the virtues that we are to develop. And all of this, folks, it comes the same way through worship, through abiding. I said it this morning, but folks, when we worship God, you know, you're not trying to climb a ladder to get to heaven. Do you ever feel sometimes like you're trying to climb a ladder to get to heaven when you're worshiping? The Bible says in Romans 10, it's not a matter of us ascending into heaven or going into the abyss and bringing up Jesus from the dead. Jesus is risen, but He's ascended to the right hand of the Father. But what He's done is He's sent His Spirit into our hearts. And you don't have to run over here to find Jesus or run over there to that thing or, following fire trucks. Where's the latest thing? The kingdom of heaven is within you, the kingdom of God. Christ in you is the hope of glory, and you have got access to the throne of grace. When we're worshiping, we're opening our hearts. Hallelujah. Amen. And saying, Jesus, fill me. You see, if you're in Christ, He's there. He came to dwell when you invited Him. But then you need to yield and have fellowship with Him. Say, Lord, You're welcome to make Yourself at home here. Yep, you can go into the attic. You can go into the basement. Any room you want to go to, Jesus, I'm an open book. As a matter of fact, Lord, I want You to sweep out anything that's not of You. Amen. So You can completely possess this vessel. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ. It dwells within us. If you fear your adversary, it means that he's stolen or usurped your peace. Fear has torment. If we are fearful of our adversary, it means that he has stolen or he has usurped our peace. Now, I want you to hear what the word usurp means. It says to hold in possession by force or without right. What did Satan try to do in the very beginning with Adam and Eve? Usurp. Take without right what was not his. God gave mankind dominion over, right? All the earth. He usurped that authority by getting man to listen to his voice and thus violating, you know, the law of the Father. And as a result, we became separated. And so, in the areas that you have fear, obviously there is a lack of peace. Now, God wants His people to live free from fear. To live free from anxiety, which is a form of fear. He wants us to have His perfect peace. And so, you've got to open up your heart and let Him come and let Him fill you. Amen? Let the Holy Spirit shed His love abroad in your heart. And then, shut the door. And when that voice comes, that lie presenting itself again, just, hey, over here, over here. Well, everybody else is doing it. Don't you want to be popular? Don't you want to be like those people in Hollywood? They say there's more depression at the top than anywhere else. They're not happy. Unless they got Jesus. Philippians 1, almost through here, 27 and 28. I want you to hear, please. Above all, you must live as citizens of heaven, conducting yourselves in a manner worthy of the good news about Christ. Then, whether I come and see you again, Paul speaking here, or only hear about you, I will know that you are standing together with one spirit and one purpose, fighting together for the faith, which is the good news. Then in verse 28, what does he say? Don't be intimidated in any way by your enemies. This will be a sign to them that they are going to be destroyed, but that you are going to be saved even by God. You see? When we're not intimidated by the devil, or even our enemies, even natural enemies, when we're not intimidated by the fear of man, then it means that we are understanding our authority. When the boss, who knows who he is and knows what he's been assigned to do and knows the authority he's been given, walks into the office, he commands. He just says, okay, I want you to go and I want you to do this. I want you to go and do that. If he doesn't know who he is, the employees will figure that out. Come on. And they'll start to manipulate. They'll start to play toy with them. They'll start to take advantage. They'll start to slough off, usually, if they're people that are less than integrous. Well, when the cat's away, the mice will play. And even when he comes, if they recognize that this guy, he's got the title of being boss, and yet he doesn't really believe in his own authority. The authority's been given. Then they're not going to respect that authority, and they're going to just throw it right back in his face and say, we're not going to listen to you. Come on, I want you to hear this. If you and I, as ambassadors of the Most High God, who have been given, amen, the backing of heaven, the authority from the Lord Jesus Christ to go in His name, to represent Him, to go and destroy the works of the devil, amen, and the devils will be subject to us in His name, we need to know who we are, and we need to believe that God holds fast to His word, that He means what He says. Come on. In no way should we be intimidated by our adversary. And you know what? The devils know if you know who you are. If you know what authority you have in Jesus' name, they know it too. I said, oh boy, he's getting up. He's getting out of bed now. No, oh no, he's coming into the room. They're like cockroaches. You turn the light on, they go. You never lived in a house like that? I have. But it's real. It's true. Too many Christians don't know who they are. Too many Christians spend all their time just trying to patch up an old dead life. Add stuff to it. Never getting set free, never getting delivered from anything, never getting cleansed and purged and, you know. Well, yeah, Jesus came in, but he's not allowed in the attic and he's not allowed in the basement. And you just kind of got him on. Anytime you need him, well, Jesus, help me now. Well, man, you've let all these cockroaches in. You've been eating filler food again? You know, the devil's attracted to stinky things. Just like flies are attracted to stinky things. And you know, Beelzebub is a name for Satan, and it means what? Lord of the flies. So if you got stinking thinking, you know, stinking kind of stuff that you're meditating, watching, stinky television and movies and music, guess what? That attracts the flies. It attracts demonic. He's saying, get rid of that stuff. Because I want your vessel to be pure and clean so I can possess you fully. And you'll experience what I came to give you. And that is abundant life. Life in full. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit.